Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Worship team, thank you so much for this morning. Once again, for all of you who've taken time to be here on this long weekend, I know holiday weekends, they're filled usually with plans and trips or fun or outings and, of course, food. So, this theme of John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this. He lays down his life for his friends. I want to talk to us a little bit about this this morning. I'd like the Holy Spirit to talk to me and talk to you about this this morning. You know, we read that verse and, of course, we think of Jesus, right? I mean, he gave his life so that I could be redeemed, that while I was still a sinner and lost, he gave his life. Before I knew him, he gave his life for me and for you. You know, Paul writes, it's rare that a person would give their life for someone who's righteous and maybe for a good man. You know, it's just kind of unheard of, and yet Christ gave his life. We, on this Memorial Day weekend, we recognize those who have given their life. Greater love has no one than this. I want to talk to us about how do we do that on the day-to-day? Because when Jesus teaches this and does this, it's not just about physically dying to protect someone else. That's certainly part of it, to protect or in Christ's fashion and what he did it to redeem, to save us. But he also taught about the day-to-day, right? How do we love somebody? How do we love God? How do we love people on a day-to-day basis with this understanding that there's no greater love than to lay down our life for somebody? It's not a one-time deal. It's the daily. You know, as believers, think about this. We are supposed to be the best at loving people. As a Christian, we're supposed to be the best at it. We're supposed to be the very best at forgiving people. We're supposed to be the very best when it comes to patience. We're supposed to be the very best at this. We're Christians, we're followers of Christ, the fruits of His Spirit transforming us. And I know that to become the best at these things, it's a journey, it's transformation, it's changing. But, you know, measuring myself with the help of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to do the same, it's not measuring us against each other, but there should be a measure that says, compared to those who don't believe in Christ, I should be so much better at loving people than they are because of the knowledge of God. God is love, right? Yeah. The scripture says what Paul writes. And so we're supposed to be the best at these things. And yet somehow, you know, laying down our life for somebody, knowing that there's no greater love than that, it can somehow seem out there and a philosophy we, you know, agree with and adhere to, but yet we disconnect on the challenge of what that means. I want you to know it's every day. It's the call to the day-to-day. I mean, Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15:31. This little piece in there, he says, as he's writing this letter, he says, I die. Yeah, you know the verse. I die daily. You see, how do we get really good at loving people? Well, we get really good at it if we hang out with God a whole lot, right? And if I die to myself, loving people gets easier. If I die to me, I could be really patient, right? And I got news for you. You don't have to, you know, you can. You can ask God, you know, help me love people better or help me be patient. I think it's good that we request those things of God because it's a sign that it says, I agree with you. I have a hard time becoming this. I can't do it without your spirit, right? We can't do it on our own. We need his spirit to help us. But this whole dying to self, if I do that, these things, they have room to live in me and live in you. Okay, kind of the whole resurrected us in this earth, the waters of baptism, you know. The old man dies and behold, the new man lives in Christ. We're supposed to be the best at this. And yet somehow there's a disconnect sometimes on the call, the day-to-day. You know, Jesus said this, if you love me, you will obey me. Say obey.
Obey.
You know, as adults, we hate that word unless it's coming out of our mouth to our children, you know. We're adults now. We're mature. We're old. We're grown. We're, you know, on with life. Don't tell me to obey. John 14. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. You see, when we disobey, I want you to grasp this. When I disobey, it means that I love me more than I love him. You chalk it up all you want. You can say, that sounds really harsh. That sounds really absolute. Well, you can go soften it at home and write it out however you want. I'm just telling you that if loving God has to do with obedience, that when I disobey him, it means that I'm more interested in me, my feeling, what I want, my flesh, my natural instinct, my sin nature. I am more interested in that than I am in loving him. Turn to the person next to you and say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have come today. No, I'm kidding you. Don't say that. But some of these things are tough to swallow. It is. These are hard teachings. They're demanding. Okay? But Christ lived these out. And he says, you know, you're supposed to, if we're really going to love people, we need to learn to love them in a way that they need to be loved. We all know that the Old Testament and Samuel writes, 1 Samuel, that obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Some of you have been reading your Bible. You know these verses. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Have you ever noticed that you'd rather sacrifice and do something for God that you feel like doing more than what he is asking of you to do and obey? Have you ever noticed that? I've seen it in me. I've seen it in others. I've had others come and tell me about it, almost like they were like proud of it. Like, I know God's word says this, but this is how I do it. Here's one. And if you're visiting, I don't really talk about money very often, but I'll use this as an example. That obedience is better than sacrifice. I've watched people say, well, I don't tithe because I don't believe in it. But they believe in God and believe in his word and follow Jesus. But they don't believe in tithing. But then they come and say, but this is what I do instead. And they talk about some sacrifice they do, or I donate or volunteer so much of my time and all these things. Listen, we should still do all those things, but not at the neglect of obeying God's word in tithing or whatever other command or whatever else he teaches. See, so, you know, we can say, I didn't obey, but look what I did over here, God, for you. And he's saying, I'm not interested in that. I mean, he's interested in you. He's interested in sacrifice. He's just saying that obedience is numero uno. If you love me, you will obey me, he says. Love and obedience, they are not separate things. They are attached. And so here we are as believers, and we praise God and love God and want to love God, and yet there's these moments that I say, I love me more. I love me more. I'm going to serve me. I'm going to do what I want. Those are hard things on our ears, and I want to talk to you about this loving God and about loving people because they are not disconnected. The way that we love people is a direct correlation of our spiritual health and love for God. It is not separate. They are not separate compartments. The more we love God, the better we will love people. And the more that we love people, the more that we are becoming like Him. It's a litmus test. Where are we at? People are difficult. I mean, I have a hard time every once in a while loving me. And I'm by myself. You know, people are difficult. Yeah. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you, but sometimes it's really tough. Some of you have been waiting. You've been waiting to have permission to say that to them. Yeah. First John 4:7-8, it talks about the treatment of others is totally related to our relationship with God, our love for God. You know, in Isaiah 58, he rebukes his people. He says, is this the fast I called you to? In other words, he rebukes them. And he says, here you are fasting and doing spiritual things and spiritual exercise that God's people do, and yet you don't do anything to help the oppressed go free. He says, that's not what I've called you to. What I've called you to set the oppressed free, to love them according to what their need is. Listen, God has loved you according to what your need is, and He's loved you according to some of your wants that fall within the right parameter and attitude and motive, okay, in your life. But He loves you according to what you need, who you are. That's how He's loved you. He gave Himself up. So on the day-to-day for you and I to answer this call, there's this thing called loving people according to the way that they need to be loved, the way that they want to be loved. You and I can sometimes come up with our own idea of how we should love somebody. And I want you to know that those are expressions, I believe that they are expressions of love, but they are not meeting the need that the person has. We're going to talk a little bit about this. Laying down our life means laying down sometimes my idea of how I want to love somebody and instead love them according to their need or their want. Because some of that might be a little too demanding or uncomfortable for me. I'm more comfortable doing this. They really need an in-person visit, but I'm more comfortable just sending them a card. See? Their need is they need somebody to sit with them. But we still want to do something nice, because after all, we're Christians, right? I've got to do something. I don't want to do nothing. Oh my goodness, then the love of God might not really be in me. I want to suggest to you that for the love of God to be in us, we need to be loving people the way that they need to be loved, they want it to be loved. Listen, here's the thing about love. Is the one who gives doesn't get to define what the need is. The recipient does. Now, God in his wisdom saw our need and loved us accordingly. He's God. But you and I on this level, we buy gifts for people, right? You buy gifts for people? Yeah, of course you do. But don't you think it's better if the recipient chose the gift? Because otherwise we're given stuff that sometimes it just doesn't matter. I've watched this happen over my married life, and I'm pretty good gift giver. I'm average. Okay, I'm just under average. No. For a man, I think I'm pretty good at paying attention to what my wife likes and doesn't like. Now, I have certainly struck out on occasion, okay? And those occasions become obvious, okay? Because I could spend, you know, a little extra money on something that I think is really nice and that she might like and she would appreciate. And then a girlfriend of hers, you know, might spend, I don't know, $12 at the new and used store and see some old piece of, I'm sorry, a very nice piece of antiquity and give it to her for, I don't know, her birthday or whatever it is. And I watch my wife's response to this $12 piece of junk that's going to go in my house. And I watch her and she's like, oh, so old. And I'm like, you, $250 gift. Come with me. Did you not? You unwrapped it, but maybe you didn't see it. Maybe you didn't touch it long enough. You see what I'm saying? The recipient is the one who knows if the want or the need was satisfied. And you and I, with love, we sometimes, you know, we're this corrupt. We love people in a way that will make us feel good. Now, when we love people, it does give you a great feeling. Because, you know, when you love people, it's like this demonstration of God in us. Okay? But when we do things to love people the way we want to love them, to make us feel good, rather than the focus being on the recipient, we have crossed over and we have sinned. Because we've made love about us, not about them. You and I have these ideas about how we can love people, and they're still expressions of love. I'm not trying to disqualify the expression, but when we see a need or a want, and it's something that we can do, and we choose to do something different, it says this: I love me more than I love you. And yet I'm called to lay down my life and die daily to me, that I would love others more. Man, it's quiet in here. Watch this happen in my own life. I watch it happen. And those around me, I watch it happen between believers. You know, Matthew 21, it gives this parable. It's called a parable of two sons. I would like to suggest to you it's actually a parable of three sons, but that's just my take. Anyhow, Jesus tells this parable. And I'm not saying that I'm smarter than Jesus. It's just I think we missed a piece in here when we interpret it. And I'm going to share it with you in a moment here. But he gives a parable about two sons. He says, a father says, goes to a son and he says, I want you to go work in the vineyard. And the son says, no, I'm not going to do it. So the father goes to a second son and says, I want you to go work in the vineyard. And that son says yes. But he never goes and does it. The first son, who said, no, I won't, went away and had a change of heart. Say change of heart. It's possible. Had a change of heart, and instead he turned and he went and he worked in the vineyard. And Jesus poses this question. He says, which son did the father's will? Or which son obeyed? Or which son loved the father more? Well, the answer is the first son, who said no, had a change of heart and went and did it. The one gave delightful lip service. Ooh, yes, I will. Never did it. Now, the point of this parable primarily is about those who think they're religious and say certain things, but they don't actually believe. And then Jesus goes on and he tells about tax collectors and prostitutes are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven instead of those who think they're righteous because they actually had a change of heart and they believed in Jesus. That is the primary lesson of this. But I want you to catch this. The secondary lesson in here about when we say yes, don't do it, or we have a better idea, a different idea, or it's lip service, opposed to we have a change of heart and we go and do it. And when we do it, we love our Father, we love each other, we actually do it. We meet the need. We do it according to their will. That's a tough thing. As I've gotten older, my father has a will and a way of doing things. Well, I'm a man now, and I've got a will and a way of doing things too. And there are moments where I have to die to me and do it like the will of my dad, because I love him. Now, there are certain things I will talk through with him, and he'll say, yeah, go ahead and do it that way. Or, yeah, it doesn't matter. There's more than one way to skin a, you know. Sorry, all your animal rights people, that's a bad phrase. There's more than one way to trim the nails on a cat or something like that. I don't know. So, this whole message of loving people and sending the message that I love you more because I died to myself. I'm going to love you according to how your need is and what satisfies you and what fulfills you, not what I'm comfortable with. Because the moment I love somebody just because of the way I'm comfortable, it says that I am more interested in me and I love me more and I'm going to protect me more and I'm going to do this the way I want and the way I think. And so what happens is we never love the other people, the other person, or God effectively. And yet we're called to lay down our life. There's no greater love. So these other expressions, they are expressions of love, but they are not the effective expressions of love according to a person's need. The third son in this story isn't mentioned. You think, oh, you can't talk about that. There's only two sons. Jesus told the parable. What are you doing? Just listen. Where is the son who says yes and still does it? This one said no and then did it. This one says yes, never did it. Where's the son that says yes and did it? He's the one telling the parable. It's Jesus. He said yes to his father, and he came and laid down everything in his life for you and I. See, in my book, the people didn't see the third son. It was him. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to get to. See, some, we just give lip service. Isaiah prophesied about that. The people draw near to me with their lips, with their words, but their hearts are far from me. Once again, they're loving God the way that they want rather than the way that the recipient wants. Listen, if your kid asks for a blue bike, do not buy him a yellow one. If you can't afford the $35 more, then you buy two cans of spray paint. You better do it right. Make it blue. You know, don't say you love me when you show me you love you more by loving me in a way that makes you feel better rather than loving me in a way that makes me feel better. In that case, it'd be better you just don't tell me you love me. See? We're supposed to love people. Consider the Good Samaritan. You know this parable. Jesus tells it in Luke 10. You know, the man's traveling along. He falls in the hands of robbers. They rob him. They beat him. They basically leave him for dead. And of course, you know, two religious people go by and walk by on the other side of the street, and they weren't going to help him. And then this Samaritan comes along, and he sees the man. And he bends down by the man, and he says, God loves you. And he gives him a flower, and he walked away. That's not the story. But that's what we do. That's what we can do. We see somebody's need and we want to love them differently. The Samaritan saw the man and he binds up his wounds and he takes him and pays the expense to put him up overnight and be taken care of. Well, he goes away and he settles the account with the innkeeper, you know, in case the bill was more. He loved. He laid down his life. He went against the sinful human nature like the priests, they did. They loved themselves more than this man. You see, you and I, we can see a need and we want to love somebody differently or what's more convenient for us, but it doesn't really meet their need. It really doesn't satisfy and fulfill them, and yet we do this. And we're supposed to lay down our life. Well, as a Christian, we feel the obligation. We feel the obligation to do something, right? So sometimes we'll do something. At least we did something. And sometimes we can't be the full answer. I get it. You know, there's many funnels. That's why we have a body of believers, right? But so sometimes we do something. And it's interesting. I've seen, watched it, observed it, that I've seen us... Well, I'm not going to really meet the need because I just, you know, I'm uncomfortable. I've got to do something. I got to go somewhere. I've got more important things to do. And I get schedule conflict. I get it. I know that needs come and they're inconvenient. But we're called to... Called to love and to die to ourselves like Jesus did for us on the day to day. And so I watched, you know, as a Christian, we don't want to suffer from guilt of not doing anything, so we do something. And I watched this happen because I've watched people do it, say it, talk about it later, and they mention what they did. They did something so they can reference it. And the interesting thing is that which we reference, like we did something, makes us feel good, like the love of God is in us and being expressed. But what we did didn't really fulfill the recipient's want or need, whether it was physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is. And we deceive ourselves and convince ourselves that we loved them because we did it in a way that we wanted to. And yet, what we did was irrelevant, like giving a flower to a man who's left for dead. The flower's beautiful. It's a nice gesture. But that little flower is not going to heal the man, comfort the man. Right? You see, the recipient is the one with the need, the one with the want, the one with the hope, the one with the wish. The message is kind of like this. Don't come and tell me that God loves me, and then do nothing to help me. You see, the recipient, Christian or unbeliever, oh God, I need help. If God is sending us to tell somebody that he loves them, then it should be partnered, if there is a need or a want, that we can satisfy. Otherwise, if the person is in need, or we know what would make them feel loved, and for them their need might be different than mine or the next person, but we can identify it, and we do something different, I want you to know what we do is irrelevant. And don't tell them that God loves them when you didn't help or when I didn't help. Because that person, they're looking for a messenger to be sent who will help them, not just tell them that God loves them. It's not that we can't tell them that God loves them. It's just that when they are there in this need and we choose to do nothing about it, but to tell them that God loves them, that is adding insult to injury. You are already injured. You are in need. I am not going to lay down my life for you because I care more about me than you. And so I know you're already hurt, so I'm not going to do anything about it, but I'm going to tell you that God loves you. That is a complete insult to their injury. At that point, we are no messenger from heaven. How are you loving people? How am I loving people? Man, I'm really lost without that clock on the back wall. I've glanced twice now, and it's not there. Somebody tell me what time it is, and tell me the truth. I'm sorry, one person. I'm a man. I can only hear one thing at a time. 10:52, great. Thank you. You know, Ephesians 5, they're all great chapters. It's a great chapter. He begins to talk about being imitators of God, and he goes through and he works his way down to Christ and how he loves us. He gave his life for us. And then Paul addresses husbands. He says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her. So here's the call for every husband. Lay down your life for your wife. Whew. That's tough. I've been trying to do it for almost 35 years. You think by now I'd be a dead man. That was a play on words there, dying to something. Never mind, forget it. Listen, to love her like Jesus loved me, because I'm part of the church, he gave himself for me. Now, this is not some one-time event where I jump in front of her and take a bullet. This is the call to day-to-day living. I can still love her like I want to love her, but not with neglecting how she wants to be loved. And she likes to be loved in ways, some ways, that are not natural inclinations to me, or they didn't used to be. See, now the rubber meets the road. Am I going to love her like Christ loves me? Am I going to meet her needs? Am I going to listen to her wants? Am I going to discipline her like Christ disciplines me? Now you think, what? You discipline your what? There's certain things that I don't want her to get away with. Just like there's certain things in me that she doesn't want me to get away with, or the Holy Spirit doesn't want. Because in the end, that saves me. In the end, that saves her. Paul talks about what Christ does. He washes the church. He washes us, right? Cleansing us, presenting to himself, right? This spotless bride, this sanctified person, okay? When I say discipline, it's not like I say, you know, go to your room and you can't have supper. She's the cook. Are you kidding me? Or I'm taking your cell phone. No. I'm talking about the love that comes and the gentle discipline, that comes between people, okay? Because reality is, we know the scriptures that say we're supposed to submit ourselves one to the other. In this passage, it says, wives, you're supposed to submit yourself to your husband like he is Jesus. But he's not Jesus. He's flawed. Your submission isn't based upon his performance. And my love and laying down my life for my wife is not based upon her performance as a wife. See, God designed this. He knows how it all works. Sin and our rights and our feelings and our, you know, has created and made a mess of this whole thing and a misunderstanding of this whole thing. He knows how it works. We walk together. I choose to submit to my wife. I'm still the priest of the home. But I made decisions based upon her need or her want that were not my favorite thing. Because I love her. But there's more than that. There's a reason I do it. And Paul writes about it in Ephesians 5. I mean, after all, keep in mind this whole message, but if we were to just take this away, listen, why love people? Why die to yourself and take on the nature of God and let his nature come out of us? Well, it'll make our relationships better. That's a great motive. Well, when I love somebody, it makes me feel good. Hey, we should love ourselves. It says in Ephesians 5 to the husband, listen, love your wife like your own body. That's what it says. Because in doing so, you actually love yourself. See, if you're interested in loving yourself better, love God more and love other people more. In doing so, you are actually going to love yourself better rather than not dying to yourself and saying, I'm more interested in me. I love me more than them. I'm me. It is so counterintuitive. If you really want to love yourself and have a great self-image, then listen, love God, die to yourself, love other people, and the result is, you're going to love yourself better. You're struggling with yourself or who you are or what you're supposed to do, and you just got all these issues and self stuff going on. I'm just telling you, love God the way he wants to be loved, obey him, love people according to their need, and this wonderful spiritual principle gets activated in our life that we actually love ourselves better than just taking all this interest in self. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? It mentions what love is, and then it says what love isn't. And it says this, love is not self-seeking. Say, not self-seeking. One more time. I'm going to close with this. In Ephesians 5, it's like, why love people? Why love God? Why die to ourselves? Why? What's the point of all this? As a believer, let me just tell you what the motivation should be behind all of this. There's other motivations. Yeah, we want better relationships. We want to have peace in our home. We want to have good friends. We want to be a good testimony of the Lord, to people and all of these things, because we know one of the most powerful evangelistic messages and effectiveness is where Jesus says, "Hey, disciples, the world will know you're my disciples by the way that you love one another and treat one another." You want to win people? Then start dying to yourself and love other people more. Because the world gets to see it and watch it. And then they know you're his disciple. Not by loving people the way you want, but by loving them according to the need that the recipient has. Why do all this? Go ahead, stand to your feet. See, Ephesians 5, verse 21. Why do this? Why should I love my wife like this? Why should I love her and go against, oh, I'm tired, and I don't feel like it, or I'm uncomfortable with that, or use all these reasons. Because when I do that, it just means I say I love you, but I love me more than you. Why crucify that? Here it is. Ephesians 5, verse 21, listen to this. Loving one another, submitting to one another. You can throw in the word you want. Paul writes this. Reason we do this is out of reverence for Christ. It's not just loving my wife because I love her. It's not just loving you because I love you, or loving my kids because I love them. It's out of a reverence for Jesus. When I put that spiritual implication into my mind, it helps me die to myself and helps me love people better according to their need, sometimes to their want. Because I do it out of a reverence for Jesus. I'm not doing it to make me feel good. I'm not doing it because I love me more. I'm doing it because it shows reverence to my Savior, who's led the way by example. You see, we're Christians. We are supposed to be the best at this. You and I need to go through a process and question ourselves and say, am I coming up with other ways to love people when I see their need is different? And what is that saying? Saying I love me more. I'm more interested in me. Get this. Jesus left everything. He left everything in heaven. He left everything. When he came here, he even forfeited rights that he had, like call 10,000 angels. But he didn't. Because he said yes to his Father. And he went and worked in the vineyard. And you and I are the cultivated fruit of that work. Because he loved us according to our need. You and I need to start loving people according to their need. We can still love them how we want, but not leaving out loving them like they need to be loved. And their need might be different than yours. And it's going to implicate, and you're going to have to sacrifice, and you're going to have to be uncomfortable, and you're going to, I don't care what the relationship is, a stranger or your spouse or anybody in between. This is the love of God that we are called to, the love of God that we have been saved by. And why do we do it? It's not just for them. And it's certainly not for ourselves. It is out of reverence for Jesus.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.